In Action Inc. versus McQueenie Group Inc., 2022 ARC App 297, the Arkansas Court of Appeals addressed the question of whether a claim for implied indemnity by the contractor found at fault could succeed against another. The trial court ruled in the negative in this case. There were also various arguments in appeal from the deemed denial of a motion for new trial. The case is complex, and its procedural history follows, but for those interested in cutting to the chase, the principal arguments of general applicability follow. In affirming in all respects, Judge Brown explained, "This case has a complicated procedural history. For purposes of this opinion, we provide the following background. Action was the mechanical subcontractor on a construction project at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville in 2011. Clark Contractors, LLC, was the general contractor on the project. Action's work included the installation of a variable refrigerant flow HVAC system. The original plans and specifications call for the installation of a Mitsubishi HVAC system. However, the cost of that system exceeded the university's budget, so Action proposed and the university accepted installation of a less expensive system manufactured by LG Electronics USA. Action agreed to pay for the design changes for this alternative system in its bid. However, no changes were made to the design or specifications to accommodate the differences between the two systems. Action then contracted with McQueenie, LG's Arkansas representative, for the purchase of the LG system. Action experienced significant problems with the system after installation, and troubleshooting efforts by Action failed to fix the problems. Clark decided to engage another mechanical contractor to resolve the problems with the system. It was determined that Action incorrectly installed thousands of feet of pipe in the system. Action's failure to properly install the piping in the system forced Clark to have the system rebuilt. As the piping was replaced, additional installation errors were discovered. Clark would later demand that Action pay approximately $650,000 for the remedial work on the project. After Action finished its work on the project and was paid for that work, it contracted with Clark for other unrelated projects. Clark set off amounts owed to Action on these other projects to recoup the cost of the remedial work on the original project. In January 2016, Action filed suit against Clark to collect the amounts owed Action for the other projects. Clark answered and counterclaimed, asserting claims for breach of contract, unjust enrichment, and negligence. Action filed a third-party complaint against McQueenie LG, the architect, the engineer, the commissioning agent, and LG's Texas representative, asserting claims for contribution, apportionment of fault, negligence, and implied indemnity. The claims between Action and Clark were settled prior to trial, as were Action's claims against the architect, the engineer, the commissioning agent, and the Texas representative. The claims against McQueenie and LG were tried by a jury. After one of the claims against LG was dismissed on a motion for directed verdict, Action non-suited its remaining claims against LG. Action elected to submit its indemnity claim against McQueenie to the jury and dismissed its claims for contribution and negligence. The case was submitted to the jury on interrogatories. In the first interrogatory, the jury found that Action was negligent and that its negligence was a proximate cause of its damages. In the second and third interrogatories, the jury found that Action was entitled to implied indemnity from McQueenie and fixed its damages at $255,000. The circuit court declined to enter a judgment based on the jury's answers to the interrogatories. Instead, the court held that a negligent party was not entitled to indemnity and that contributory negligence was a complete bar to an indemnity claim. The court dismissed Action's complaint against McQueenie with prejudice. After Action's motion for new trial was deemed denied, this appeal followed. The primary issue is whether Action's negligence in its installation of the LG HVAC system bars its claim for implied indemnity from McQueenie. We hold that it does. The Restatement Second of Torts sets out the general rule of indemnity as follows. If two persons are liable in tort to a third person for the same harm, and one of them discharges the liability of both, he is entitled to indemnity from the other if the other would be unjustly enriched at his expense by the discharge of the liability. Section 886b2 gives examples of typical indemnity situations. In all of these situations, the indemnity is liable as a matter of law, but the loss is primarily caused by the indemnitor, not the indemnity. The basis for indemnity when, as here, there is no express contract of indemnity is liability based on an implied or quasi-contract. The Larson Machine Court, Larson Machine Inc. v. Wallace, 268 Arc 192, held that the theory of indemnity is based on the equitable principles of restitution that permit one who is compelled to pay money, which in justice ought to be paid by another, to recover the sums so paid unless the payor is barred by the wrongful nature of his conduct. However, Arkansas courts have applied the doctrine of implied indemnity only in limited situations where there is no express indemnity contract, such as imputed or vicarious liability or product liability, where a supplier seeks indemnity against the product manufacturer. Action's claim does not arise under either of these theories. First, this is not a case involving vicarious liability. Clark sued Action for Action's own negligence in installing the HVAC system. It did not sue McQueeny, LG, or the other entities involved in the installation. Thus, Action did not discharge McQueeny's liability to Clark. Secondly, this is obviously not a product liability case. End of quote. The opinion noted there is a difference between contribution and indemnity. Quote, while some jurisdictions have blurred the differences, there is an important substantive difference between contribution and indemnity. Contribution refers to an order distributing loss among tortfeasors by requiring each to pay a proportionate share, while indemnity shifts the entire loss from the party found liable to a party who should bear the entire loss. Action has lost sight of this distinction. The circuit court did not err in entering judgment in favor of McQueeny on the basis of its determination that Action's own negligence barred its claim for indemnity. End of quote. The decision also affirmed the deemed denial of the motion for new trial below, which raised several grounds. One was the trial court's refusal to submit a claim for both indemnity and contribution, but the problem was only one was presented to the jury at the time of the trial. It submitted implied indemnity to the jury, but argued in a new trial motion that both indemnity and contribution should have been submitted. Quote, a plaintiff may pursue multiple and inconsistent remedies until the jury is instructed. At that point, the plaintiff must make an election. The record shows that Action waited until the court decided what jury instructions would be given before making its election. After further discussion of the jury instructions, Action elected to proceed without objection under the implied indemnity theory. Because Action did not object, we cannot say that the circuit court erred in the timing of the election. End of quote. Another appellate argument challenged the circuit court's refusal to strike an amended answer that raised contributory negligence as an affirmative defense. The problem was that without a ruling, it was not preserved for appellate review. End of decision.